into the tabernacle of praise. Amen. Shall we all stand as we sing Sabbath Rest?
God, let us pray. Father God, Lord, we are so grateful, so excited, Lord, to be able to spend this moment with thee, appreciating, Lord, what you have done and the opportunity you set beside us for us, Lord, this Sabbath day. And so, Lord, we come to lift up your name in praise and worship, inviting the Holy Spirit to lead and guide and direct our paths. So keep us, Lord, as we cannot keep ourselves, but bless our time with thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Praise God, from whom all blessings flow.
Praise God.
I invite you to remain standing with us as we recite the fourth commandment and or read it. Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep us holy.
6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it.
Amen, amen.
Amen. The Bible says, this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. I'm so glad to see everybody in the house today. I'm so glad for God's mercy, His grace. We want to welcome you to the Tabernacle of Praise, where everybody is somebody, and worship is truly a joy. On behalf of our pastor, Jonathan B. Fields, and his wife, Melody Fields, we want to extend a warm Tabernacle of Praise this morning. Welcome to you this morning. Amen. You may be seated this morning. We have in the house visiting with us Sister Chaplain Debbie. Chaplain Debbie, amen. Praise the Lord. Sister Loretta. And these are first cousins of Brother Andre Lewis. Amen. Amen. Welcome. We have Sister Stephanie. And Sister Stephanie. Amen. Praise the Lord. And Sister Reese. Amen. And we're happy to have Sister Desiree back home. Amen. 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 Praise the Lord. God is good. Jessica and family. Amen, amen, amen. Amen, the McKenzies, amen, praise the Lord. Well, we want to consider this your visitor but once, and now you are part of our Tabernacle of Praise family, amen.
Amen,
amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're just so happy this morning, you know, Last 2 weeks, 3 weeks, it's been a whirlwind. Amen. But God's grace has been sufficient. Amen.
Amen.
And we just want to introduce our newest members, the Fords, the Ford family. Carl and Angela. Amen. Amen. They went on their honeymoon. They came back with a smile. Lord, turn your pressure into praise, Brother Carlos. Praise the Lord. And Sister Mary Dandridge, amen. Now at the church, you want to give them the right hand of fellowship. Amen, amen, amen. God is good. You know, this past Thursday, Sister Teresa, my wife, had surgery. And praise the Lord, she's here. Come on now. And Sister Beverly had surgery on yesterday. So we want to continue to keep her in prayer. She had a rough evening, but God's grace is sufficient. Amen.
Amen.
We want to just continue to keep her in prayer. And we're looking for a speedy recovery. Amen. Brother Greg is taking care of her. Brother Greg. Amen. And you know, this Wednesday we will not have our online prayer service, but we will be online at our area-wide conference prayer service. Amen.
Amen.
So we want you to tune in to that. At this time, we're going to ask our men's ministry leader, Brother Cliff. Is Brother Cliff in the house? Amen. Tell him to come a running. Come a running. Amen. We just want to encourage our men just to stay prayerful. Amen.
Amen.
That's one of the hardest ministries in the church. Amen.
Happy Sabbath every morning.
Sabbath.
Everybody, I'm going to say happy Sabbath. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
But Paul, you know I ain't running no more. So, anyway, on behalf of the men's ministry, speaking directly to the men, you know, we had our little outing last October, and we had a good response, not from ourselves, but from the public itself. But it's time for us to get busy again. So I would like to meet with the men 2 weeks from today after service so we can get a plan. I like to shoot for an event within the next 2 months. So I'm asking all the men, please set aside 30 minutes, whatever 2 weeks from today. Anybody know the date? 2 weeks from today after service. Downstairs in the conference room. I appreciate it, and I want to thank the men that came out a couple weeks ago. We met for a while, but we're going to save what we discuss with everybody as a whole, and we want to thank you for the work that we got accomplished outside.
Amen. At this time, we're going to have our women's ministries leader.
I just want to ask all the women that are planning to go to Kansas City next month to please meet up front immediately after the service.
Amen. And the Lewis family would like to thank the church family for just supporting their family through their time of bereavement. It's a beautiful thing to support the family, seeing the church working together, coming together. God loves to see that togetherness. Koinonia. So at this time, let us continue in our worship service. We want you to praise. This is the tabernacle of praise. So we want to invite you to stand as we praise the Lord this morning.
The reason why I love him so is 'cause he walks with me. Everywhere I go, he is my constant friend. On him I can depend. He is my guiding light. He's ever by my side.
He's all these things and more. That's why I love him so.
The reason why I love him so, because he walks with me everywhere I go. He is my constant friend. On him I can depend. He is my guiding light. He's ever by my side.
He's all these things and more. That's why I love him so.
I love him, I love him, I love him. Do you really love him?
Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before.
He's sweet, he's sweet, he's sweet, I know. He's sweet.
Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more.
I love him, I love him. Do you really love him?
All these things and more. That's why I love.
I love him, I love him. Oh, how much I love him. Every day I love him more and more. I love him, I love him. Oh, how much I love him. Every day I love him more and more. I love him, I love him. Oh, how much I love him. Every day I love him.
I love him.
Every day I love him.
I love him.
I love him.
Every day.
Every day with Jesus. As sweeter than the day before.
He's sweetie, sweetie, sweet. I know he's really sweet.
Every day with Jesus. I love him more and more.
I love him, I love him, I love him. Do you really love him?
Every day with Jesus. Sweeter than the day before.
He's sweetie, sweetie, sweet. I know he's sweet.
With Jesus, I love him more and more.
I love him, I love him, I love him. Do you really love him?
All these things and more. That's why I love him so.
Every day is sweeter with Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
This is why we ought to spend a little bit more time with him.
Yes.
Because he will bring the peace and joy to your soul.
Thank you, Lord.
Where life is worth living. Where you can understand that just being in his presence will benefit you. So that's what we're about to do now. We're going to take this thing and elevate it just a little bit further by spending a little bit more time with Jesus where it can just benefit us. What do you say? This is our prayer time. And we are going to unite together at the altar. We're going to express our love for God. And then we're going to make our requests to God. And then we're going to use our faith in God to receive the blessings from God. What do you say? Does that make sense? Y'all ready? Well, come on up here with me. We ain't got time. God. Right now, we just want to say thank you for this day that you have blueprinted for us to connect with your spirit and with each other in the power of your love. Thank you. We say thank you for keeping us and protecting us through the hurt, harm, and dangers of this world all week. And now we can come into your presence to lift holy hands just to say thank you. We know it's not by our power. We know it's not by our might. But it was by your spirit that we have been kept. It's by your spirit that we have been enduring. It's by your spirit that we have been overcoming. It's by your spirit that we're engaging right now. It's by your spirit that we are going to continue to worship you in the beauty of your holiness. By that, we just say thank you. Lord, we come realizing that you don't only want to be Savior of our life, but you want to be Lord of our life. And right now we give you permission to do so. Because we know with you being Savior and Lord, you can lead us all the way to the promised land. And we know we'll get there safe. And we know we'll get there sound. And we know, God, it'll be not just for a moment, but forever. So we look forward to that time. But in the meantime, we need some temporary blessings that will help us stand strong until you get here. So Lord, we ask for the strength of Samson. We ask you for the wisdom of Solomon. We ask you for the kingship of David. But most of all, we ask for the love of Jesus. We ask, Lord, in your name, that these things take place in our life, that the world may see that we belong to you, and it will open their eyes to see that they too can be a part of your eternal family. God, we ask that the Spirit of the living God fall fresh upon the earth today and come mightily. And we ask that you would give special visitations to our family members who are not here, people who are lost, people who don't even acknowledge you. But God, we stand in their stead. We stand on their behalf, because we believe by our prayer, by our faith, that you would do something special, miraculous, amazing, unbelievable, incredible. So God, we ask you to have your way, because we're praying for our loved ones. You ask us to co-work with you to help build your kingdom. So it starts right now through our prayer and our requests that you empower us to help this be fulfilled. Remember the Lewis family as they're in their bereavement. Lord, we ask that you strengthen them where they're weak and bring the power that they need day in and day out. Open their eyes that they may see the glimpses of truth direct from thee, knowing that the death of their loved one is just asleep, and that you will raise them up in the day when Jesus comes. But allow them to be ready to meet you with her when the day comes. Remember those who are on their bedside right now. Remember those, oh God, who are in hospitals and nursing homes. Remember our loved ones, oh God, who are in prison walls. Remember those, oh God, even right here at this altar, in the sanctuary as we speak. We all need you for some reason or another. And we ask, God, that you don't fail us. You never disappointed us. You may not come when we want you to, but we believe that you have your own time. So, God, we ask you to help us stay patient, but also stay faithful. Because we believe that you're hearing our prayer. Now, Jesus, we're going to end our prayer with this. We pray every week. We pray every day. We ask you for things, and some things are not been fulfilled in our lives. So this is something right now that we want you to consider and take heed and incline thy ear to the preacher, a servant of yours. I am making this sacrificial request for your people. I'm asking you to give them the desires of their heart that will give you glory and that will benefit their life to be saved. I hope it's some finances that you will release from your storehouse. I'm hoping that it's some healing that you release from the kingdom of heaven. I'm hoping that you would just eliminate doubt and fear. And I'm hoping that you would get rid of all the sin in our lives, and that you will empower us to walk straight and narrow and righteous in this present world. Come on, Jesus. Do what you do for us. And we will give you the honor and glory. We will recognize and testify to somebody that you are real and that you are coming back. So continue to be with us in our worship service. This is our prayer. This is our plea in the mighty, awesome, gracious name that is above every name, Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Let the church say amen. Amen. Amen.
Good morning, church family. Amen. Happy Sabbath.
Happy Sabbath.
If God has been good to you, would you say amen?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God is always good, right?
Amen.
All the time.
God is good.
Come on, y'all can do better than that. All the time.
God is good.
All right. Now, let me ask you this question. Stewardship is our use of what? Here's a hint. Time, talent, temple, and treasure, using that for God's glory and his honor, not for our own glory and honor. Although God blesses you when you use it for his glory to give you a little bit of glory and honor also among men. You know, the question was asked earlier, how do we witness for God? This is how we witness to God, through our time. Mm-hmm. How we use our time as a witness for God.
Yeah.
He says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be. Mm-hmm. So the things that are important for you are what you're going to use your time, talent, temple for. Mm-hmm. We witness for God in the use of our talents. We don't have to use our talents for our glory, but to use it to glorify God.
Right.
And he blesses us to be able to use that for our own temporal use as well.
Mm-hmm.
He also blesses us to witness for him in use of our temple. How we treat our body is very important. And trust me, people are looking at you to see how you treat your body.
Mm-hmm.
We also witness to God in our use of our treasure, our money. You know, you can tell a lot by a person about what's important to them by looking in their checkbook
mm-hmm.
or looking in their bank account. And you'll see where their money is going because that's what's important to them. When we are faithful stewards to God, our time, talent, temple, and treasure, and somebody looks in our statements and our bank books and they say, wow, this person uses a lot of their time worshiping God, listening to God, praising God, doing God's will. That shows that you're a faithful steward. When they look in our statement and our checkbook and they say, wow, look at this, how they use their talents. They're singing in the choir. They're leading out at church events. They're out doing witnessing in the community, using our talents for God. They look in our statements and they say, what is this person doing with their body? Am I using my body in unhealthy ways? Am I out there doing unhealthy things? Or am I doing what God asked me to do to make this body a temple of the Holy Spirit? That's how we witness to God and our treasure. Am I spending my money down at the club? Am I gambling? What am I doing with my money? Am I returning unto the Lord as he asked? Everybody can see whose side you're on by looking at your life statement, what you do with your time, talent, temple, and treasure. Now, here at this church, one of our mottos is teamwork makes the dream work.
That's right.
We're a team. There's no big I and little U's involved. This is everybody on deck, all hands on deck evangelism, all church evangelism. Whenever we have an outing, a stewardship outing, a men's ministry, women's ministry, deacon, usher, pastor, or elder, whatever the outing is, we want everybody to participate.
Amen.
Only reason we don't want to see you at any event is if it's men only or women only, like the women's retreat coming up. So, men, you don't have to go to that. And whatever Brother Cliff's planning for the men's ministry, ladies, you can sit back and enjoy what the men do that day for you. Otherwise, everybody's invited to be a participant. Not just in your tithe and offering. We appreciate you for being honest and faithful in tithe and offering. But that's not all that we expect. We expect you to be busy in God's church. Brother Jerry, stand up for a quick second. Come on, Jerry. You see the yellow shirt he's wearing? We want everybody to have one of those yellow shirts because that's a shirt of a steward of God. Outreach, evangelism, mission work. That's what we do when we're wearing those yellow shirts. Thank you, Jerry. So if you don't have a yellow shirt, we want to get you a yellow shirt, and then we want to involve you in stewardship ministry for God.
Amen.
So let me know if you need a shirt. See me afterward because we're not going to let you just come and sit.
That's right.
Come on now.
Those some comfortable chairs, air conditioner blasting, lights allowing you to see what's going on. But we're not going to let you just come and sit. We want you actively involved in doing God's work here at the Tabernacle of Praise.
Amen.
Would our deacons and deacons, our deacons, please come forward? I want to remind you also, we no longer use Cash App to put in your tithe and offering. Now you go to AdventistGiving.org. AdventistGiving.org. Do a search on Tabernacle of Praise, Spanish Lake, Missouri, and deposit your tithe and offering there if you need to. Let us bow our heads. Dear Lord, we thank you so much for the privilege. It is a real privilege to be able to give, Lord, to be able to return, because you have first given these things to us. Bless us, dear Lord, to return not only a faithful tithe and offering, but also a faithful portion of our time, talent, and temple to your glory and your honor. Bless those who gave, those who did not have. Bless us, dear Lord, to use it for a worthy purpose of sharing the gospel message in this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Also, a reminder, next week, tomorrow, the 25th, 12 Step to Success. We want you there. See me later. I'll get you the Zoom link for it. Thank you, and God bless.
new dawning. It took a miracle.
God still working miracles in your life? Oh, I don't believe you all believe that. Did you wake up this morning clothed in your right mind? You still have activity of your limbs. Whatever your situation has been all this week, just know it was a miracle that you're here this morning. Amen. The song says, when we all get to heaven, what a day of rejoicing that will be. But I want to tell you, you don't have to wait till you get to heaven. Because you can think about the miracles God has made in your life. You can praise Him right now. Let us stand for our scripture reading. Scripture reading on the board this morning. It has taken a miracle, taken from John chapter 9, and we are going to be preaching this morning on the whole chapter, but we're going to just read a few chapters starting off. We'll read it responsibly. But the Jews did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight until they called the parents of him who had received his sight.
And they asked them, saying, "Is this your son, who you say was
His parents answered them and said, "We know that this is our son, and that he was born blind. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had agreed already that if anyone confessed that he was Christ, he would be put out of the synagogue. So they again called the man who was blind and said to him, "Give God the glory. We know that this man is a sinner." Said, "A sinner or not, do not know. One thing I know, I'm blind. Now I see." Amen. Father God, we're so grateful and thankful, Lord, for this opportunity to open up your word. Lord, we pray now that you will bind the enemy, Lord Jesus. We pray that your Holy Spirit will take control of this message, Lord. Open up our hearts and our ears that we would see Jesus. Let me be a nail just holding a portrait of you on the cross. For you said if you be lifted up from the earth, you would draw all men unto yourself, Lord. So we just want to lift you up today, Lord. And as a result, Lord, we will pray that some soul will be blessed as a result of, as your Holy Spirit will be our unseen teacher and preacher of this word. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible says that we have not a high priest that cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity, but in all points was tempted as we are, yet without sin. You see, Jesus' humanity was not overshadowed by his divinity. Jesus was touched with the feelings of the human woe of this race. When he was on this earth, he always drew men and women that were hurting. Men and women that did not know him, he drew them close, as it is told in this story of this blind man who was blind from the day he was born. Can you imagine that? Never seeing a sunrise, never seeing a bird or a flower. We take it for granted just being able to see, but this man was born. He never lost his sight. He never had it. And so this story is illustrating the power of the Lord. This man who was born, the Bible says before he was formed in the belly, Christ knew him. This man was born to be a part of God's plan, to show God's mission as to who he is. And so there are five groups of people in this story that were actually more blind than the man that was born blind. And so we're going to look at this. Jesus, as the disciples and Jesus are walking, they see this blind man. Now, obviously, the blind man can't see Jesus, but Jesus sees him. And Jesus always notices the plight of man, and he paused right there and looked at this man, and I just want to say that sometimes we're going through things, we're going through difficulties and perplexities and problems and difficult situations, and we don't believe that God is with us, but God is always with us. The Bible says that he is our refuge and our strength. He is a very present help. You don't have to look for him. He's right there in your time of trouble. Sometimes when there's been times in our lives that we did not seek after God, but I thank God that he sought after us. God is the hound of heaven. He's always in pursuit of us. Wherever you go, God is right there trying to draw us back to him. And here it was. They were there, and here the disciples who were suffering from a spiritual ineptitude. They were blinded to the fact of this man's plight. They had inadequately made an assessment of the situation. They said, "Is this man born blind because of the sin of himself or his parents?" You know, that, you know, when you see somebody bleeding and hurting, you know, that is not the first question you ask them is, what bad decision did you make in your life that brought you to this point? Now, you may ask that question later on down the road, but that shouldn't be the first question that you should ask. Your first question should be, how can I help mend the wound? How can I stop the hurting? What can I do to help you? But they were all, they're sitting here trying to blame this man. Now, you're talking about blaming the victim. They said, was it, but this man born blind as a result of the man or his parents? They were saying that they was accusing him. He wasn't even born, saying he sinned even before he even was given life. Now, that's really blaming the victim. But Jesus had to set the record straight. He said it wasn't because of the sin of his parents. It wasn't the cause of the sin of him. You see, sometimes good things, bad things happen to good people. You know, you all remember the story of Job. You know, the whole book talking about how he was tormented, and the Lord said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" And all types of calamities came to him. But he said, "Though he slay me, yet will I trust him." You see, we can't just serve God when everything is going good. When you've gotten a new car, you can't just reserve your praise for that time. We have to say, "I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praises shall continually be in my mouth." You see, the miracle of this healing was advancing the mission of God. You see, Jesus was trying to give an example. This was not the time to start criticizing and accusing and being critical of this man's situation. This was a time to show love, care, and attention to this man's wound. You know, this is not the time to start analyzing and evaluating this person's condition, but it was an opportunity to advance the glory of God. You see, so we got to stop looking at people and blaming them for the condition that they're in, because it's not their fault sometimes. You see, we got to start turning their misery into a miracle, their problems into a promise, their burdens into a blessing. I remember this week on Wednesday, we had gone the whole day. I had gotten up at 4:30 in the morning, as it is my custom. And we had gone all day, and we had just came back from Northside. We were tired, we were hungry, sleepy. And the Lord impressed me to go to the church to pick up something. And we came to the church, and my wife said, we was approaching the church, and my wife said, "What is that on the porch?" And I said, "I don't know what it is." We pulled up, and there was a person lying motionless on the front doors of this church. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. My first inclination was to call the police, because I didn't know what I was dealing with. This man could have been a lunatic. He could have been had a gun. I didn't know what the situation was. You know, but then we sat there and we prayed, "Lord," and that's what we need to do. When you get in a situation, you got to pray and ask the Lord. Don't be foolish now. You have to be wise. And we prayed, and the Lord said, "We can't just leave this man right here." And so I pulled around, and I put the high beams on. Not the low ones. This called for the high beams. And I'm praying. I have my cell phone, and I'm approaching him. I'm saying, "Hello, hello, hello." No movement. I got a little closer. "Hello, hello." Finally, he moved, and I moved. Whoa! And he looked up, and he's trying to get the blindness out of his eyes. I said, "Sir, are you all right? Are you okay?" And he gained his composure, and he said, yeah. He said, I've been walking for miles. My feet are hurting, blistered. And he said, "But I said to myself," he said, "the safest place to be is at the door of the church." He didn't have a blanket. He didn't have, it was laying right on the concrete. And we began to talk to him. And I said, "Come on." I said, "We got you." And he gave me the biggest hug. And we got him in the car. I went and fed him and took him and put him in the hotel and gave him some money, prayed with him, gave him my telephone number. But this is what God expects us to do. not the easy thing. You see, it's not convenient to show a love to somebody. It's not convenient to show compassion. We have to, if you're waiting to say, let me see if I got any spare time to help this brother, that's never going to happen. Now, we should know by now that when God gets ready to do something, he does not always work within the confines of the box. Sometimes God works out the box and does unorthodox things. And so sometimes this method is a little different. And so Jesus was getting ready to heal this man, and he could have spoke the word and just said, "Be thou healed." He could have said, "Thou have sight right now. Let there be sight." And there was sight. But Jesus didn't do that. Jesus got down on the ground, and the Bible says that he spat in the dirt, in the dust, and made some little mud pies. Now, I know if there had been some of us, come on now, especially after COVID, we've been like, no. I don't know what you're getting ready to do, but you know, like somebody, you don't want nobody spitting while they're talking. You don't want that on you. So get that away from me. And so I know some of us would say, if that's what you're getting ready to do, whoever you are, I'm just got to stay blind. I'm sorry, but I can't do this. I cannot do this thing. But by a show of hands now, I want you to be honest. You want to be honest in the house of the Lord. Now, how many of you coming up, your mama put some spit on her finger and wipe that ash, wipe that food off the side of your mouth? Come on now. I ain't the only one. That's it. Now that is what you call love, right? That's love that they were doing. And in the same kind of way, I believe Jesus was showing love, care, and compassion when he got down and put that mud on his eyes. You see, God is always illustrating to this man. When God formed man out of the dust of the ground, and he formed man out of the dust. Now, dust is not wet. You know, there had to be some moisture somewhere. I'm just saying. I'm not saying God spit, but I'm saying God formed us. But God was showing this man that how he created man the first time. When he spake, he was getting ready to create this. The same God was getting ready to do something special for this man. Now picture this blind man. He's going down here, and Jesus commanded him to go down to the pool of Siloam. And he didn't say, "I'll meet you down there." He said, "Go to the pool of Siloam." He didn't suggest. He didn't intimate. He said, as a command, "Go to the pool of Siloam." Now you can imagine this man is walking with this mud, and scholars say that it was about 500 yards away. Now I don't know how the man knew. When you cover up your eyes, man will automatically go to the left. We cannot walk a straight line. We cannot do it. It's not a man that walketh, the Bible says, to direct his steps. That's why in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. I don't know how the man got there, but I believe the man, through the eyes of faith, just started walking. And the Bible says, "My sheep hear my voice, and they follow me." So somehow God directed that man to that pool, and that man kept walking. You see, remember Peter, when Peter bidded him to come? Now Peter, he didn't say, now let me analyze. If I jump out of here, how can I successfully make it to Jesus? As soon as Jesus gave the command, Peter what? He jumped straight out the boat, and in midair, God worked it all out. As the pastor said, while we're trying to figure it out, God already has it worked out. So when God gives you the command, don't sit there trying to figure it out. Just go ahead and do what God says. Now, he said, get on down there to that pool. You see, now the man could have said, you know what, as he's walking, I'm sure he was being ridiculed. I'm sure of the jeers and the people, man looking like a fool. But you know what? I'd rather look like a fool and get my miracle. I'd rather look like a fool and do what Jesus says. This man is walking step by step, trying to get to the pool. Now, he could have said, now, you know, I think I'm a, I just got to wash this mud off of my eyes. I think I'm a, whatever pool I come to first. What difference does it make? Long as it's a source of water. You know, sometimes that man could have said, I like that pool. That pool over there looks more exciting. That pool over there is more popular than the other pools. You know, the pool of Shalom, that's not that popular. I'm not going to worry about that little old pool. I'm going to go to this pool where everybody is shouting and having a good time at this pool. But you know what? The blessing is not at your pool. You see, the blessing is in the obedience. We can't just pick whatever pool we want. This man said he had to go to the pool that was set apart, the pool that was sanctified, the pool that was blessed by Jesus. See, the blessing wasn't at the other pools. The blessing was where God said it was. And so when God gives us an order, we need to follow him. The Bible says, according to Matthew 9:29, according to your faith, it shall be. Be it unto you. Some of us can't get our miracles because we don't have enough faith to get there. God is saying, I want your faith to participate in your miracle. You see, faith without works is what? You see, so the question is, do you think this blind man really cared how Jesus was going to heal him? However Jesus was going to heal him, he said, Lord, however you bless me, I'll be satisfied. But I'm afraid we got too many people down here want to pick and choose, like Burger King, how they're going to be healed, how God is going to deliver you, how God is going to bring you out. And we actually reject the blessing because we're trying to be too choosy. You see, because we don't like the process that God is taking us through. We don't like that spit that God is putting on it. We say we want our sanitized. But we say, Lord, increase my faith. Lord, break every chain, break every yoke in my life. Lord, I want to be closer to you. What do I need to do, Lord? Lord says, okay, I want you to start praying more. I want you to start reading your Bible, meditating on the word. I want you to get involved in ministry. I want you to start sharing your faith. And then we say, Lord, I got to do all that? For how long, Lord? How long I got to do that? Because you know I do. I got a lot of things going on in my life. You know, I got a heavy schedule. So how long do I got to do that? The Lord says, for the rest of your life. You see, the problem is we want to pick and choose the way and the manner that God is going to bless us. Let me tell you, folks, remember the song, The Floaters, Float, Float On. What's your name? Larry. But see, we can't be like the floaters when it comes to Christianity. See, we can't be on the Mississippi just floating. It's going to take you all the way downstream, but we got to be like the trout. They got to go upstream. You got to use everything to serve the Lord. You see, and we end up rejecting the very method that God is prescribing for us. Some of us just, we're not tired yet. You ain't tired yet. You're still out there. You're not tired yet. Sometimes when God is trying to bring you out, God's not going to bring you out comfortably. He's not going to bring you out classy. He's not going to bring you out clean. Sometimes God has to get you down in the pig pen and get nasty. Sometimes God got to knock you down in order to bring you up. Sometimes God got to knock you out so you can wake up and be in your right mind and say, here I am. I see you now, Lord. You see, some people, they want change, but they don't want to do anything to bring it about. You see, some people won't change as long as it doesn't cost them anything. Lord, I want to lose weight, but I won't stop getting up in the middle of the night eating ice cream. Lord, have mercy. I want a degree, but I don't want to go to school. I want to get out of debt, but I won't stop spending. You see, I want a wife, but I don't want to commit. I want a husband, but I won't submit. You see, you'll be surprised at the people who want something, but they will never take the effort to accomplish it. So if you want it, how bad do you want salvation? How bad do you want it? Don't just sit there. You got to do something. You see, after the man went down to the pool and got healed, you know, let me back up, because the blind man, they didn't have Social Security. They didn't have Medicaid and Medicare. You know, this man would have qualified for disability. But they didn't have any safety net, so the man was reduced to begging for his sustenance. And so, but after the man was healed and he came back to his community, they said, oh, that's that old begging blind man. Here he come. Hold on to your purses, because we know he gonna just start begging again. That's all he does. I know he can see, but you know that's all he gonna do is start begging. You see, there are folks that will not let you forget your past. I don't care if you change. There are people that will be dedicated to remind you of what you used to be, where you used to go, the places you used to do. But let me give you some advice. When trouble calls, when your past calls, don't answer. Because they ain't got nothing new to say. You see, some of us can't get to the next chapter. You can't turn the page because you keep rereading the same one. You see, people that will not let you get past your past don't belong in your future. You see, some people can't get to their next because they keep messing with the ex. Lord, help me right there. Help me right there, Jesus. You see, when they finally realized that this man could see and wasn't begging no more, they asked, how is it that now you can see? Now, they missed the whole blessing. They weren't even tripping off the fact that the man could see. It wasn't nobody praising the Lord. They just want to know, how you going to see now? And the man said, okay, well, I guess this is my opportunity to testify. He said, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. He said, there was a man named Jesus. That's the sweetest name that I know. He told me that he reached down and spit in the mud and put some mud on my eyes. And then he told me to go down to the pool called Shalom and wash it off in my eyes. And I came back seeing as a natural man. There was no praise in the Lord. They was mad. You see, you would have thought that there would have been some celebration going on at that time. There would have been a praise party going on at that time. But it brought about controversy. You see, they were mad because he got healed on the Sabbath. You see, there's some strange things going on. Don't you know, there, when you have your greatest moments, that brings about envy and jealousy in other people. Sometimes people will get mad when you get blessed. Some people are happy when calamity comes in your life. But this is not the time. Everybody should be on fire and everybody should have been happy. You know, this is not the time to hate, but the time to celebrate. You see, we need to get to the point when somebody gets a promotion, you need to praise just like you got one. When somebody gets a new car, you need to praise the Lord just like you got a new car. When somebody's child comes back to church, you need to praise God like it was your child that came back to church, because God is in the blessing business, because what he's done for others, he can do the same thing for you. But these people are mad and that Jesus healed them on the Sabbath, and they were trying to turn this thing around on this man. And so we got to forget about those people who trying to hold you back. People that come into the church, you come into the church, you learn about the truths of the Bible, and they say, oh, you going on down to that old church. They trying to keep that old. Hey, the Bible says it's better to follow God rather than man. Let every man be a liar. Amen. Don't give up. Don't give out. But hang on in there. Sometimes you got to go through something. The Bible says where there's no cross, there won't be a crown. Those that choose to live godly will suffer persecution. And so somebody needs to be reminded today that God is sovereign. He can do what he wants, when he wants, how he wants. He doesn't need permission from anybody. You see, so the Pharisees, they're blinded by fear and madness. You know, so they went and got the parents of this boy. They called them in to the council. They said, now is this your son? And was he born blind? They say, yes, he's our son. Of course, a parent knows their own child. And was he born blind? Yes, he was born blind. They said, well, how now is he able to see? They said, well, that we don't know. Now, they were lying. They knew. But the fear factor came in. So, folks, we have to have the convictions, the boldness of our convictions. Okay, you can't cower down when they ask you, why do you keep the Sabbath? Huh? You tell them because it's right in the commandments, the fourth commandment. They say, who healed your son? He said, we don't know, because they feared the Jews. They didn't want to get kicked out of church. They had a high position. They had their pride and prestige. They didn't want to be ostracized and cast aside and set to the side. So they said, we don't know. He is of age. Ask him. Ask him how he was healed. And, of course, they drug him in there and asked him. And he said, okay, Jerry. He said, I'm going to say it slow so I don't have to say it no more. That's Jerry's, that's his tagline. He said, they said that this, how did you gain your sight? He said, there was a man named Jesus. Oh, don't say his name. No. Don't say his name, because that man's a sinner. There's no way that he could have healed you. And the man said, well, you know what? There's no one up to this point has ever been blind from birth and had their sight regained by anybody. He definitely couldn't do it by power of Satan. And so he said, you know what? I'm going to cut to the chase. He said, you say he's a sinner? I don't know if he's a sinner or not. But this one thing I know. Once I was blind, but now I see. Folks, you got a testimony. You may not can recite the 2300-day prophecy or talk about the sanctuary, but this one thing you know. Once you was blind, but now you can see. You have the testimony to tell somebody. But the story doesn't stop there. You see, the man was born blind, and the Pharisees thought they were seeing, but they were actually blind. You see, it's one thing to be blind physically, and it's another thing to be blind spiritually. You see, there's a lot of blind spots. You all know what a blind spot is? You know, when that right rear corner on your car, you know, you try and try looking in your side view mirror, but there's a blind spot right there that you can't see. You know, I remember years ago I had a 280 ZX with the T-tops. I love that car. And I was pulling, just like yesterday, I remember this. I was pulling out from this Phillips 66 station in Kirkwood, and they had the sign right on the ground. And I was pulling out, and I looked to the left, and I looked to the right, and I pulled out. And to my amazement, there was a pickup truck right in front of me. I went under that truck. I flipped that truck up like a forklift, threw it into a cartwheel and came down. I'm sitting there in total amazement, trying to figure out how in the world did this truck come from. That at the very instant that I looked to the left, that truck was right behind that sign. Now, when you're driving, you know, look to the left, look to the right, and look back to the left. But I only looked twice. I was in trouble. But that truck was right in my blind spot. You see, there's a lot of blind spots in our lives. You see, Satan is behind different corners. He's behind different bushes. You can't see him. The Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof. You can't see the traps of the devil. You can't. He's too cunning. You can't see it. He's in your blind spot. You see, I drive a car right now that has blind spot indicators. Praise the Lord. You see, they have those sensors that can see any objects around the car. So when something is in your blind spot, your side view mirror starts flashing. Don't pull over. You got to wait. But I'm so glad that we serve a God who is the ultimate blind spot indicator. He can look high. He stands high and looks low, and he can tell you which way to go. Praise the Lord. In all thy ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. Don't go out there without your blind spot indicator on. Now, you can't always see everything that's around you. A lot of us start rubbernecking. That's what they call when you're on the highway. You're looking all like this. And you can't look in front of you and beside you in all directions at the same time. And he'll hit you with something that you haven't seen before. You see, but the problem with these Pharisees, they were blind to seeing the move of God. You see, oftentimes we condemn others of things that we don't see in ourselves. It's easy to point the finger at other people. You see, these Pharisees with all their theological knowledge and all of their philosophizing, they could not understand all these ramblings about Jesus healing on the Sabbath when Jesus is Lord of the Sabbath. It's lawful to do good on the Sabbath day. That's why we have our homeless ministry. Amen? And so they were trying to, instead of encouraging the brother, they were trying to discourage him, saying, you were healed by some devilish deity, some unknown spirit. You weren't healed by the Lord, so you don't have any reason to praise the Lord. Don't let anybody take away your praise. The Bible says God inhabits the praises of his children. So if you want God to be close to you, start praising him. But they were trying to discredit his sight being regulated by the Holy Spirit, saying it was a miracle of the devil. They were hurting this man. They were wounding this brother. And so we have to be careful. And when we're talking to people, don't discourage them, but give them a word of encouragement. You see, religion without relationship is a dangerous thing. You see, we can come to church every Sabbath, but if we don't have that relationship with God, we just have an accumulation of facts. You know, we can be vegans and know the Bible and be the most hellish people on earth. You see, we go to church, we come to church, we go to men's retreat. No change. Women's retreat, no change. Revival, no change. Camp meeting, no change. You see, the question is today is, are you blind? You see, the Pharisees were spiritually blind. Spiritual blindness is worse than physical blindness, because physical blindness can be healed, but spiritual blindness resists the healing. Jesus says, for judgment I've come into this world. You see, his eyes were open, but the Pharisees' eyes remained closed. You see, you can enter the kingdom physically, but not physically blind, but not spiritually blind. The Pharisees asked the question to Jesus, are we blind? And Jesus said, if you were blind, you would be innocent. You would have no sin. But because you say you can see, your sin remaineth. You see, the worst blindness known to man is a man that will not see. Didn't say that he couldn't see, but he refuses to see. He got his eyes wide shut. Last point. Jesus told the man to go wash in the pool of shalom. And that word shalom means sent. He told him to go down and wash. And as a result of him going down to wash in that pool, his eyes were open. In other words, he obeyed God. He obeyed the mission of God, and his eyes were open. You see, here's the thing for us. Part of us of having our eyes open is to participate in the mission of God. You see, we can't just stand on the promises while sitting on these premises every Sabbath. The last thing God told the disciples is to go ye therefore. You see, we have a mission doing the works of God. And when we start doing the works of God, our eyes become open and we start to gain the compassion and the love for people. We get to see God working through us because we're participating in the mission of God. We all need to be washed in the pool of shalom. We all have a story to tell. You see, the physical healing was not all Jesus wanted to do. But Jesus was more interested in his spiritual healing. For a lot of us, all we want is God to heal us physically. But the most important thing is the physical healing. Jesus did not want to heal physically, but spiritually. God wants a relationship with all of us. God is sending all of us out into the mission field. The song says, so send I you to take to souls in bondage the word of truth that sets the captives free, to break the bonds of sin, to loose earth's fetters. So send I you to bring the lost to me. He says, as the Father has sent me, so send I you. I don't know who's out there today, but all of us need to be in that pool of shalom. All of us at some point in our lives have gotten blinders put on. There's a certain level of blindness. I know we think, Lord, what level of blindness will you accept? What level of holiness will you accept? This level, this level, this level. But today, God is calling all of us. Say, Lord, I want you to put on the eye salve, so I cannot be deceived under any disguise. And so it is your desire today, say, Lord, open my eyes that I may see your glory. Open my eyes that I can see the path that I'm on. I don't want to be deceived. I don't want to be that church of Laodicea that I'm poor, wretched, blind, and naked. So if that's you today, say, Lord, open my eyes. Give me your Holy Spirit. I want you to stand with me. We're in these last days, folks. It's going to be a lot of people that are going to be lost because they refuse to see. And as we are standing here, we also want to open up the doors of the church. We want to give somebody an opportunity right now to go all the way with the Lord. Give me your hand, but give God your heart. Jesus says, today when you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Spirit is calling, the Spirit is reaching. We just had a baptism last week. You may not know all there is to know, but you're saying, I want to join these people who's headed for a city whose builder and maker is God. You know, you've been wandering in this earth half walking in the truth, half out, but today you say, I want to walk all the way with Jesus. If that's you, I invite you just to raise your hand. Just raise it. Raise it for the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise God. God sees those hands. Father, Lord, we're so grateful and thankful for your word that you have preserved in our hearts. We're so thankful for the miracle, Lord, of restoration, of creation, of sight. Lord, we pray that you will restore and create in us a clean heart, Lord. Renew the right spirit, O God, within us, Lord, so that we can fulfill your mission to tell those that are in darkness, Lord, to be light bearers, Lord Jesus, to bring them to the light of truth. Lord, we're thankful for the commitments that were made today. Seal those commitments. Bind our hearts, Lord. Make us like a tree planted by the rivers of water. We'll be grateful and thankful and careful to give you all the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. Invite the choir to come up.
Before we do our closing song and the benediction, I'm impressed by the Holy Spirit. With this message today, I was blind, but now I see. We have a brother in the congregation who's about to have surgery on his eyes physically. I'm going to ask that brother, Brother Philip, that you would come. And I'm going to ask my sister, the chaplain, to come and pray for you. I'm going to ask you in the congregations, understand what God is doing right now. We want you to make a sacrificial prayer for this man, Brother Phillips. And God will bless you richly because of your obedience. For the message today, even though this man has to go through it physically, all of us can receive a spiritual blessing of that. Amen? Amen. Is that okay? Can we just pray for him real fast?
Thank you.
Father God in heaven, Lord Jesus, thought I was coming here to worship, and here I am. You're going to use me to elevate the ministry of healing for this brother I'm standing with right now. He's having surgery on his right eye. Father, I ask that you stop today, this Sabbath, beautiful Sabbath day.
Yes.
And let's just pause for a moment, Lord, if you would bless the doctors, the nurses, the equipment,
yes.
The procedures, the medications, the instruments.
Yes.
Lord, I ask right now that you give this brother full restoration,
yes,
of healing on his right eye.
Yes.
In Jesus' name, we pray. And we thank you because you've already answered the prayer, Lord, ahead of us. But we're just making sure you don't forget. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Amen, amen, and amen. What a timely message. God know who needs to hear that. While we're, some of us anyway, being entertained by the message, God is taking serious of the whole thing at heart for just one person. But we know that the message is for us all. Amen. Come stand with me for our closing song. It's going to be in our hymnal 326. This is called Open My Eyes That I May See. What do you say? Open that eye, I may see. Come on, sing with me. Come on.
Open my eyes that I may see glimpses of truth thou hast for me. Silently now I
remember also that Sister Lynette wanted to meet with the women right up front who's going to go to Kansas City, okay, for our women's retreat. She wanted to meet with you right up front right after service. So go and shake the preacher's hand and come on back and sit. Every head is bowed. Let us dismiss. Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, we have heard a word from you beautiful and candidly and clearly. We ask now that you open our eyes that we may see the glimpses of truth direct from thee. We believe in your hands you hold the amazing keys that can unlock all revelations and mysteries. So, Lord, we ask that you continue to hold our hand and reveal unto us your holy plan. So take all of us now as you would, and we'll continue to praise your name as we should. In Jesus' name, let the church say, amen, amen. Amen. You may have a seat for our ushers to escort you out. Hey, Sister Mary and the Ford family, our new family members, we ask you to meet us up back so the rest of the family can just give you acknowledgement to welcome you into the family. Amen. So as I walk out, you all walk out with me. Amen. Amen.
Shout of the Lord.